strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save.
Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip,
till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Do You Have Oil for Your Lamp? Today's message is based on Matthew 25, 1 through 13. So let us open with prayer. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens, and through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Lord, you adopted us as your children in Christ. You have set us free by his blood. You have forgiven our sins. You have made known to us your secret purpose to bring heaven and earth into unity in Christ. You have given us your Holy Spirit to seal and pledge of our inheritance. So all praise and glory be yours, O God, for the richness of your grace and for the splendor of your gifts, for the wonder of your love. Amen. So turn now in your Bibles to Matthew 25, and we will read the first 13 verses. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. So watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Well, today we have a special event as well as our usual observations as to what God is telling us. Actually, this was last week, and that is Scout Sunday. But we will observe it this week as we have all our scouts present. And when you consider the duty of scouts to always be prepared, this message is especially relevant for them as well as for us. And this is also the first Sunday of Lent. Our message continues with Jesus' statement about the end times from what he taught his disciples just prior to his own death and just after his triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, which is coming up very soon. And Jesus uses a parable as his teaching model of something everyone should easily understand from usual life events, but he applies it to a very deep spiritual reality. This is a very well-known part of Jesus' teaching, one I'm sure we have all read and heard many times before, but also one we must take especially close to heart in our current world situations. We have wars, hatred, vast sin that is not being addressed in any way, and runaway self-centeredness. We live very selfish lives and not lives of being prepared for a major event that appears closer to coming every day. We should all take care that we will not be the one who is not ready. So today we have the parable of the 10 virgins. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." Now we recently spoke of these weddings when we had Jesus turn water into wine for his mother at a wedding. These were huge events in life that no one would want to miss. Like it was in my earlier days, there's also much structure of what had to occur and in what order, and this was closely observed. To participate, you had to follow the rules, and this was certainly something you would not want to miss. Now Matthew 24 ended it with a parable meant to emphasize the idea of readiness for the coming of Jesus. And Matthew 25 begins with another parable on the same principle. The last parable was a master who left on a journey and returns unexpectedly. The wise servant had done all the master had wished, while the evil servant lived as if the master would not return, and then suffers severe punishment. Now, there were three stages to a Jewish wedding in that day. The first was engagement, a formal agreement made by the fathers. The second was betrothal, the ceremony where mutual promises are made. And then the third was marriage, approximately 1 year later, when the bridegroom came at an unexpected time for his bride. Beginning to see the similarities between these two parables? Sometimes the bridegroom was a local boy who lived in the same village, but this time the parable infers two things. First, the bridegroom had to come from some distance. And second, this was not some local and ordinary wedding, but likely one of prominence, even royalty. So when the bridegroom came, the bridesmaids, who were attending the bride, our maids of honor, went forth to meet the bridegroom with lamps lighted to conduct him and his companions into the house, and to her who was to be the bride. And some ask why Jesus described 10 virgins and not another number. Well, reportedly, Jewish legal authorities said there were usually 10 lamps in a bridal procession. It was a common size of a wedding party. The other point of this is that as Jesus tells the parable, everything is being done properly according to the scholars. This makes a case between religion and faith. People can be very religious in their behavior, but totally lack faith. They often allow their religion to supersede what is truly God's word and will for our lives. Don't simply be a religious person, but be seen as Christ. Raw religion has driven away many from finding true faith. There has been much discussion about these 10 virgins. The word commonly used for virgin can also mean young woman. Like our bridesmaids of the day, these are more to indicate they are the bride's friends, those that are there for her during this very special time. They are her supporters and helpers and to encourage her. And when you consider that the church is the bride of Christ, this parable is about his holy union, that suddenly we are those bridesmaids. We are those who are to wait on the arrival of the bridegroom. And we who love Jesus and wait for him are to be an active participant in his coming. Now verse 1 ends, and they went to meet the bridegroom. Now in this parable, the first two stages of a traditional wedding had already taken place. Now the wedding party, and the 10 virgins wait for the coming of the bridegroom, for the bride to lead him to her. We, you and I, are to be leading others to meet the bridegroom, but hopefully before he comes again. To see the bridegroom as Jesus himself seems warranted in light of Matthew 9:15, as this would be a bold figure for him to use, as the Old Testament frequently describes God and not the Messiah as the bridegroom, and Israel as the bride. And we see this in Isaiah 54 and 62, and Jeremiah 2 and Hosea 1 through 3, and many others. Now in Matthew 9 we are told, and Jesus said, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast." In this verse, Jesus is speaking of his remaining time on earth, that this was a blessed time and not a time to mourn in anticipation of his coming death. In both passages, Jesus clearly refers to himself as the bridegroom. We spent a great deal of time on the first verse, and now we'll more quickly cover the remaining, starting with verse 2. "Now 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the foolish ones took no extra oil, but the wise took oil with their lamps. Then the bridegroom was delayed, and they slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him.' And as virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish asked for oil, and they were afraid there wasn't enough. And afterwards, when they went to buy oil, they come back. The bridegroom had gone in, the door was shut. And the 5 foolish virgins said, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. You must watch. You neither know the day or the hour the Son of Man is coming.'" Now, with a more grand wedding party, there would usually be a herald to precede the groom, especially if they were running late. As John the Baptist was the herald of Jesus, will there be one when Jesus comes again? Maybe. But haven't we already been made aware by many who teach these last few years? I know I have heard many who have not only told us but have shouted for us to prepare. The time is short. Maybe this very simple message today can be seen as a herald. We all have been warned in multiple ways, but have we listened? Some of the party were wise, prepared for the coming. Some in the wedding party were foolish and unprepared. So which group do you belong with? Are you prepared as if the day is tonight or tomorrow? Or are you banking on the false hope you can still enjoy life for a while and have time to get ready later? We recently discussed that the time will come suddenly. and will have no way to anticipate the day or the hour. So while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. All 10 of the maidens slept because the bridegroom was delayed. In this parable, both the wise and foolish maidens slept. But the wise ones were prepared to act immediately when they were unexpectedly awakened. The foolish maidens were not prepared. They nodded off and were sound asleep, and they would get the sense. It's more like what would be in the Greek. We are not told why the bridegroom was delayed. There are simply going to be things that happen that we will not understand. I am ready for Christ to come at this instant, as the world gets constantly worse, and I wonder, why, Lord? Please come. Do not be the one who refuses to believe that the coming could be just at any time. So the five foolish virgins appeared to be ready for the bridegroom because they had their lamps in hand, but they really were not ready because they took no oil with them. The wise maidens had extra supply. So many who claim Christ are like the foolish maidens. They think they are ready, but really are not. We do not need to carry a flask of oil with us unless we consider that bottle is our ability to truly live in Christ and in every situation. Christ's coming will not be what we think it will be. It will catch us unawares unless we are fully prepared in the Word of God. So at midnight the cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming." He came at an unexpected hour. The wedding party immediately began to prepare their lamps. Many think that they had to relight their lamps, but I tend to go with their lamps had been burning. The wick is burnt to a char and had to clean the ash from the wick. So why would the lamps be out of oil unless they have been burning for a while? It's a warning addressed specifically to those inside the professing church who are not to assume that their future is unconditionally assured. All 10 are expecting to be at the feast. And until the moment comes, there is no apparent difference between them. It is a crisis which will divide the ready from the unready. So the foolish virgins were unprepared. They lacked oil for their lamps. It was far later than they had expected. They had assumed much. In many biblical passages, oil is an emblem of the Holy Spirit, such as in Zechariah 4:1-7. Without oil, the wedding party was not ready for the bridegroom. Without the Holy Spirit, no one will be ready for the return of Jesus. Now, olive oil was a staple of life in Israel. It is mentioned throughout Scripture, but as often is the case, this has multiple meanings other than just squeezing the olive. Olive oil is a good representation for the Holy Spirit for many reasons. A, oil lubricates when it's used for that purpose. There is little friction and wear among those who are lubricated by the Spirit of God. B. Oil heals and was used as a medicinal treatment in biblical times. See Luke 10:34. The Spirit of God brings healing and restoration. C. Oil lights when it is burned in a lamp. Where the Spirit of God is, there is light. Oil warms when it is used as fuel for a flame. Where the Spirit of God is, there is warmth and comfort. Oil invigorates when it's used to massage. The Holy Spirit invigorates us for His service. And oil adorns when it's applied as a perfume. The Holy Spirit adorns us and makes us more pleasant to be around. G. Oil polishes when it is used to shine metal or wood. The Holy Spirit wipes away our grime and smooths out our rough edges. Now, knowing this brings us closer to the full meaning of the parable. No one can be a Christian without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As it says in Romans 8:9, "Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." In this parable, Jesus probably did not intend a separation between Spirit-filled and non-Spirit-filled Christian. The distinction is likely between true Christians and false believers. Those who do not know the Spirit cannot claim to be true followers of Christ. And this is sure to start a big disagreement with others, so use it carefully. But it is the truth. This parable is not about being a good scout, but in being fully prepared, not only physically, but spiritually. We can all claim our readiness, but can we all actually be aware of our firm connection with the Holy Spirit? Have we acknowledged the acts of Spirit in our lives, as well as knowing that we must turn to seek the Holy Spirit both in good times and in times of need? To have oil is the assurance that you and the Holy Spirit are actually acquainted with one another, and that you trust God to support you through the acts and powers that God displays in our lives through His Holy Spirit. Without this, you are simply an empty vessel. Maybe you have spent a lot of time decorating yourself to be an attractive vessel, but yet you are still empty. So nevertheless, a key to Christian readiness is to be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit, as we see in Ephesians 5:18 through 21. Paul advises this early church, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Now, much of the weakness, defeat, and lethargy of our spiritual lives can be explained if we are not constantly being refilled with the Holy Spirit. A Spirit-filled Christian, as well as a Spirit-filled church, will be visible by these signs to all who interact with them. Now at the end of verse 10 are likely the most dreaded words you never want to hear. And it says, "And the door was shut." And just a little later, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you." The penalty was severe for the foolish maidens. They were not allowed to come to the wedding. The door was shut against them in the strongest terms. This door is not shut after them, but before they could enter. You may have desired to enter. You may have felt entitled to enter. However, those who are not prepared will not be allowed to enter. This much is certain. And the girls appeal to the bridegroom, and his response, recall the chilling words of Matthew 7:22. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Here, as there, "I do not know you" in a decisive formula of rejection, but rather a mere statement of fact. Saying you are Christian and many of the multitude of things people use to claim their salvation will not be accepted on that day. You must know Christ, not only in the nice parts you like, but in the entirety of God's word, and you must live it. Spurgeon says, "When that door is once shut, it will never be opened. There are some who dote and dream about an opening of that door after death. For those who have died impotent, there is nothing in the spirit to warrant such an expectation. Any larger hope than the revealed word of God is a delusion and a snare." Much of what the modern church is telling its people is false, designed to grow numbers, grow the collection plate, or just to make people feel good at where they currently are. All very human reasons, but none acceptable to God on that day. So watch, you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. The point of this parable is simple. Be ready. The price for failing to be ready is high. Like the disciples, we desire to know just when these things will occur, so that we will be prepared and ready and not surprised. This is just human and should be expected. However, rather than wish to know the future, we should ask, "Do you have oil for your lamp?" Don't put out that God won't tell you. Remember, He didn't even tell Jesus. Spend every day and hour preparing as if that moment in God's plan is now. Don't be caught empty. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Our Lord Jesus commanded us to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Remember that I am with you always to the end of the age. Now go forth in the name of the Lord, for this is God's charge. We should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, to love one another, just as He has commanded us. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.